But looking in Philippians, the third chapter, verses 7 through 15, this is a pretty popular passage to end a new, an old year and bring in a new one. Lots of reflection going on this past year. Very few people can get away with just going about their business as they have done in their lives. And I can just be honest with you that the prospect of death in our family has been strong. You know, just the thought of it, and then you go through what everyone is going through, and you kind of multiply that out, and you could make the case that it's been a really bad year. Trust me, I don't want 2020 to actually go much longer. I'm not superstitious. But let's just get it done, okay? Let's move. We need a fresh start. We need to... But I want to look at what this year has done to us, for us, with us, a little bit. And I want to put it in a perspective, a different perspective, than because we all know the struggles and trials that we've all been through, and then the individual struggles each family has been through. And I want to put it in perspective, a bigger perspective, a greater one, a more encompassing perspective. What if I viewed the end of this year like it was the end of my life? Now think about that. What if this is the last few days remaining of your life and you're looking back on your life? The sweet memories, the regrets, the lessons learned, the highs and the lows. And so when you do that, you need to be guided. Because sometimes we get stuck on the lows. Sometimes we get stuck on the bad stuff. And that's not just in 2020, that's every year. And we do a recap of the year. And we naturally go to the bad stuff. And if we're not careful, we'll stay with the bad stuff. And so we find in Philippians, excuse me, the third chapter, remember, this is kind of like a guide for us to help us not just stay with the bad stuff, but to move on to the next year. You know, I recently watched a video comparing the end of a year to the end of life. And it got me to thinking personally, what if I did the same? The memories, the regrets, and all of that. What if I took in that kind of inventory? A lot of folks don't do that, but I think this year they actually are doing that. I think this has been a wake-up call in some respects to shake us up and say, hey, what is really important in life? Some of the things that we thought were important weren't really that important. So here are a few thoughts of a personal inventory that I took, and it's guided by Philippians, the third chapter, verse 7. And I kind of, in my personal summary is this, is it won't, when you're reaching the end of your life, it won't matter how much money you made, it won't matter how much money you banked, it won't matter what all the great accomplishments in life, it won't, all these things of life won't matter. But almost everyone, when they die, they're going to wish that they had loved or served more. They're going to wish they'd laughed harder. Some folks are way too serious, by the way. You got to laugh. And if you can't laugh at this year, you're in bad shape, okay? Just got to laugh. And you got to live better. Love more. Laugh harder. And live better. Let's look in the first two verses of the third chapter of Philippians. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. losing things. And this world does not make you or me a loser. Okay? In many ways, we all are ending this year a little worse off than we did at the beginning of the year. They've lost their jobs, lost income, they lost their health, they've lost their friends or loved ones. And on a personal level, you can see where things are not the same as they were last year at this time. We've lost some things. The church has suffered loss also. Not just physically losing church members by death, we did do that. But we lost something. The first thing I think of is potlucks.
I had lost almost 30 pounds because we had that potluck.
That's a loss. That's a good loss, by the way. Not the potlucks, but
you know what I'm talking about?
We lost something. There are people who have not been here since April, and they've got a good reason. I'm not criticizing them, but there are people who are out of the habit of coming to church. And it's not just this church. It's churches, pastors all around are saying the same thing. We're worried about when this is over, are they going to come back? Are they going to be out of the habit of worshiping God in person? Or are they even going to get comfortable? I'm not saying any of our folks are doing that, but what I'm saying is it's happening. And we worry about it. That's a loss, by the way. So our church is lost. But most of all, it was the fear of loss that controlled us this year. You realize how much we were being controlled this year? And I don't mean it's a terrible thing. I'm just saying that we were controlled by fear. Now, whether it was legitimate or not, but we were being controlled by fear. The fear of loss of income. The fear of illness. The fear of death. But most of all, the fear of isolation. These are legitimate things. A loss of stability, a loss of just continuity in our life. It's all been disrupted. We find it in our families, our churches. We find it even in our government. But you know, this passage tells us something, that loss is not always bad. The things that we lose may not always be bad. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now, we've lost some stuff, but we haven't lost all things. And Paul had lost his freedom. He lost everything. But you know what he said? I count them as rubbish. And the King James Version is a different word than that, by the way. He says that I may gain Christ. Failure in this world today does not define you. We haven't all done things right this year. We haven't all done everything perfectly. We haven't made always the greatest decisions and choices. But that doesn't define me. I may have lost some things, and so have you, but I'm not a loser. You see, by losing the things of your life, in your life, Paul lost his freedom and everything around him. It rearranges your priorities in life. What wasn't as important became important. love people, like things, live for God. You know, suffering, there's been a lot of suffering this year from all sorts of different angles. It's good for many reasons. Because of who wills it, who does it, the good fruit it brings, and the lessons that it teaches us. Do you know that our loss and our suffering can help us learn and grow and be stronger Christians for God? That's not the way we want to learn it. Is this the way God teaches? My kids learned how to do things rightly, and sometimes it wasn't just because I told them to do it right, to do it this way. Sometimes they had to be motivated. Sometimes they had to experience the consequences of not. In 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, Peter talks about this. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Everything that we've been through this year. You say, well, how can the churches be shut down? How can we be under? How can all of these things that happened, the loss that we've encountered, how can this be for God? How can this be for your good? God has said that it will be for good. I don't know His plan. It's not the way I'd have done it, trying to get our attention. I don't know what He's trying to get, but I do know He has a purpose and a plan as long as we stay faithful throughout all His plan. There are people that need to know Jesus Christ. Paul says that the things that he lost were nothing because it enabled him to gain Christ. How many people have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and decided they wanted nothing of it because they would have to give up something? A lot of those folks in your group, Terry, there's a lot of things that they don't want to give up. But that loss would mean they could come to Christ. That would gain Christ for the loss. So the question would be, what is it that we hold so important that keeps us from gaining Christ? What is it? I think he answers that to a degree in the next verse. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Self-righteousness. Thinking that I'm better than other people. That comes pretty natural to me. Does it come natural to you? If you're honest, you'll know that, you know, you kind of think that you're better. That you're right. And I know for a fact there are people out there right now think they had all the answers. Right? No, stop it. No, you know what I'm talking about. I'm right. And they're wrong. The whole world's wrong. But I'm right. I've got to be very careful about not comparing myself to others for good or bad. I find myself, I'm going to tell all of them, I find myself looking at some folks and saying, man, that's sad. And then I feel good, right? Because I'm better at something than that person. And then I find someone who's so much better than me, and I'm going, oh, I'm not nothing. Neither one is good. And that's my own righteousness. It can be very, comparing yourselves to others can be very discouraging and or self-gratifying to do. And 2 Corinthians 10:12 tells us this. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Look, it doesn't matter. There should be no comparison between me and Charles. for better or for worse. You know why? When we compare ourselves, the only one we can compare ourselves is Jesus Christ. That's the comparison. That's the standard. Not anybody else's standard, but Jesus Christ. And you see, neither result is good. Whether you think that you look at someone and say, I'm better, or you look at someone and say, I'm nobody. Because it gets our eyes off the real standard. And there's only one ruler that we must measure ourselves against, and that's Jesus. We must trust Him more and cling to His grace. Paul recognized that real intimacy with Christ, he didn't come through self-effort. And didn't come through hard work. But of humble faith. Because of the good grace of God. We've seen so much this past year. People think that they're right. Two political parties at each other's odds. 50% of the nation. We're totally split. Two wholly different ideas of way of looking at the world. Race riots. Guys, our people are hating each other. That came to mind. The politicalization of the virus, of all things, became a political tool. It still is. Something that seems to be so, something that we can unify against. Everyone thinking they're right. People are being drawn into their own little worlds. We've got our own little circles, and it just seems so hard to break out of it because we're scared. We've been told to be scared, so we stay at home, and we're slowly but surely becoming isolated. We've been distracted. This whole year, we've been distracted. I have. This church has. And you probably have too. You see, all the problems of the world, and you're going, oh, woe is me. When it should be looking to Him, we were withdrawing and talking about how terrible life is, things that life has given us. We've been distracted from the work of the Lord by all the issues of this past year. He said, well, the church door's been open. Yeah, it has. We've had people, since the very beginning, we've had some people show up and worship. But where's the outreach? Where's the concern for the lost? Now, I'll just give you a little secret, maybe I'll turn this off. Some of my pastor friends may not like this, but us pastors, we've been more concerned about keeping the doors open and the money flowing. There's nothing wrong with that. Making sure we're keeping the members we got, but our focus hasn't been necessarily on outreach. We've been used. Well, I guess what I'm trying to sum it up is saying this. This past year, I believe that we have increased and He has decreased. Just the opposite of the way it should be. But here's the answer in verses 10 and 11 of Philippians 3. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, we being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I still need the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel has miraculous power, but not just for the sinner. In fact, more so for the saint, because it's a progressive power. And Paul lays it out simply this. If you want the power of the resurrection, which we all desperately need, we've got to be well acquainted with the cross, the tomb too. If there's no crucifixion, if there's no resurrection, there'll be no resurrection. Jesus called His disciples. He did not minimize it. Everything will be fine.
There are too many times when a person comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and we tell them, all your problems will be done right now. And that's not the case. Jesus said, take up the cross. The fellowship of His sufferings. In Luke 9:23-25, He tells it directly to His disciples. Then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he is himself destroyed or lost? It's not about this world, people. It's about Him. It's about Him and what the world He's got prepared for us. Let's not get so wrapped up in this world. And if I'm going to tell you something, I believe that there are two ways this can go. Either the Lord's going to come back soon, or there's going to be a great revival because He got our attention. One or the other. You know what? This is what the world still needs. It doesn't need a vaccine. It doesn't need a racial reconciliation. It doesn't need an end to all crime. It doesn't need world peace. It needs to find the cure for death. And we have it right here in our hands, in His Word. It tells us about coming to Jesus Christ and we can have everlasting life. That's more important than anything else in this whole world. In some ways, the gospel has reached many people this year. A lot of my buddies and me, we've become televangelists. We've become televangelists. And we've reached many people, even while churches are being shut down. But, in other ways, we may have been so concerned about the status of the world, we've forgotten what it really means. What our true purpose is, to tell others about Jesus Christ and His offer of eternal life. I don't have a problem with somebody sitting in their PJs listening to a sermon on a Sunday morning. But I'll tell you something, there's something pretty special about assembling together. And we must never neglect that.
That's right.
Okay? This is the way God intended it. We do the best we can, though, where we're at. In verses 12 through 15 of Philippians, the third chapter, he says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected. I think we can all say that we're not there yet either, right? But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Never give up hope because of what's happened in the past. None of us have arrived. But you'll never win the race if you stop. We all push forward. We're not yet complete. We haven't matured. 60 years old, and I haven't matured yet either. I know some others here in the same position. I'm older, possibly a little wiser, but I'm not where God wants me to be. I'm not mature in His Word yet either. We got a long ways to go. Don't quit. Do you realize how many people wanted to quit on life this year? Some actually went through with it. They couldn't take it. They couldn't deal with life and the changes that this year had brought them. Don't quit. You see, we got to not lose sight of the prize. That's a good question. What is the prize? What is your objective in life? What was it that you really wanted to accomplish this year? And could it? Yes, that's a true question. Because you're probably thinking, well, I didn't get to do this and get to do that. But you know what? That shouldn't be the prize. The ultimate prize is what? Working and serving for God. Doing the things that He wants us to do, basically telling others about Jesus Christ. You need to be patient. Be persistent. And we need to forget what's happened. And keep going. Have a fresh start. We have hope that He's actually working harder at this than we are. We're not alone in this. He knows what's going on. If you're praying right now, Lord, I don't know if you know this, but there's a pandemic going on. Now think about that. No, He knows. I don't know if He said, I don't know if He's using it, I don't know what He knows. I don't know when it's going to go away. All I know is He knows, and He's in control, and I can place my trust and my hope in Him, and you know what? I can be at peace because it's in good hands. I'm not trying to do it no more.
Amen.
What a great perspective that we should have leading into the new year. Putting it into His hands. We're not perfect. We made mistakes this past year. We've been through some trials and tribulations. We might even turn our back on God a few times. But we got to realize what Philippians 1:6 tells us. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's not through with us yet. He's not. Well, I don't know. You just don't know how bad I am. No, it doesn't matter. He's not through with you. You just don't know that everything's falling apart in my life. I'm broken. Well, I happen to know that He can pick up the pieces. He can fix it. If you'll let it. Because you know what? He's got a plan and a purpose. Not only for this church, but a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you who are believers. He's got a purpose. And you know what? It may be this trial and tribulation that you're going through right now that will lead you to where He wants you to be and where you need to be. I don't know. That's where the trust comes in. Trust Him. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day that you pass from this life. Are we allowing Him to do His work? Are we allowing Him, are we trusting in Him enough to put it in His hands to try to fix something that we could never possibly fix? Let us in this coming year put this year behind. The cards that were dealt, I don't know. But whatever cards that were dealt in this upcoming year, and we say, Lord, I'm going to trust You with this. I guarantee you one thing. He'll put you in a place that's better than where you are right now. He'll pass you through the storm.
Yeah.
But that's for us who believe. That's for us who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those who have been born again. What about those who've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior? That's a problem. I don't know where they get their peace. I don't know where they get their hope.
I don't know where they get their purpose. They find purpose in all other things that are temporary. We have the knowledge of a gift that has been given us, that we've been told to share, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came, lived, and died, and rose again the third day, so that we would have a hope of everlasting life if we believe and trust in Him. And if you believe and trust in Him, then He's working on you. You're not perfect, but He's going to complete you. He's going to be working on you. So if you're here today and you've never, or listening to this or watching this, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ your Savior, you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I believe that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is touching and dealing with your heart right now, wanting you to come to Him. The only answer that is acceptable to Him and the Holy Spirit, no matter what He's asking of you, is yes. He can't continue a good work unless He started. Unless you allow Him to start working. This year, this past year, He's been working on our lives. We need to take it as such and look forward to what God's going to do on the other side of it. And keep everything in His hands this next upcoming year. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't either. God does. He's saying, just a little longer. Just a little longer. And there's some good stuff about that. Let's all stand as we prepare for the invitation. I don't know your heart. Don't know your life. I just know that God is dealing with you and there's something. Maybe you don't know Christ as Savior. Maybe the Spirit of God is touching and dealing with your heart, saying you need to come to His everlasting salvation. I can't give you a blow-by-blow of how to do that, but just telling yes. Just say yes to it. Maybe you're here today and you've been discouraged and down and broken because of this past year and the things that's happened, and or maybe personal issues and tragedies in life. They all happen. Maybe this got you down and depressed and thinking, what point? You need to rediscover your purpose, the real purpose for your being. And that's through Jesus Christ reaching, touching other people with the gospel.